From EAA headquarters in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, this is EAA Radio, the voice of EAA.
I'm Fareed Gio. 50 years ago, on August 16, 1960, U.S. Air Force Captain Joe Kittinger stepped off a very tall ledge, 102,800 feet to be exact, with only a pressure suit to keep him alive and a parachute to finish his jump safely. The jump set records along the way, including highest unpowered manned flight and longest and fastest freefall. This was no stunt. It was research to improve high-altitude survival from ejections and the expanding missions of the space program.
We didn't do it to set a record. We did it to gather information we needed for the space program. We did it to gather information we needed for escape from very high altitude. I think back on it quite frequently, and I do it with a lot of pride because we accomplished what we set out to do. I had a great team of people, and we worked hard, and we worked together, and it's a wonderful feeling to me to think back at 50 years ago we did this project.
You were part of Project Manhigh, which involved high-altitude ballooning, and Project Excelsior, for which you made several jumps, concluding with the record jump. What missing pieces of research did your team set out to find?
First of all, we knew we were going to go into space. No one had ever been out of a spacecraft. No one had ever actually been in a space environment, and we knew this was information that we're going to need for our space program. And it had never been done before, and we had a balloon vehicle to get us up that high in almost a complete vacuum. We took advantage of what we could use to gather information that we needed. What we did accomplish was information that NASA used later on in the Mercury program. And then, of course, there was also airplanes getting up there higher and higher altitudes, and we needed information on an escape from high altitude. And the highest jump prior to this was about 41,000 feet. So we were over doubling the altitude that we could get a man back in the event of an emergency or high altitude bailout from a high-flying aircraft or a spacecraft. So these were the two objectives that we had, and the only way we could do it was really get up there and do it with a balloon vehicle.
What changes when it comes to skydiving from different altitudes?
Well, the biggest difference is, the lack of pressure, requiring a pressure suit to protect you. Above 65,000 feet, your blood boils, so it requires an elaborate protection of a pressure suit. That's a big difference, is the protection required. Also, the higher you go, the less dense the air is, and the faster you can spin. This was done in a series of dummy drops. And basically, the higher you go, the more you can spin, and you can spin at such a rate that would be probably kill you if you spun up extremely high. So there's a big difference between jumping at the mid-levels and jumping out of a vacuum. Now, on my jumps, I was there not as a skydiver. I was there not as a sports parachutist. I was there to get information for air crews, when air crews are not skydivers. So when I did the jump, that was my 33rd jump. Dr. Stapp, who is our project director of the Air Med Lab, wanted me to have as few jumps as I could have so that the data would not be compromised. But I had to have enough jumps to take care of myself in the event I got into a problem. I had a 33 jumps. That was my 33rd jump when I jumped from 102,800 feet.
It has been said that you set a record as the first man to exceed the speed of sound without a vehicle. What speeds were you achieving in that free fall?
Well, I approached the speed of sound. I got very close to it. I didn't have the instruments to measure my exact speed. You see, it was terminal velocity at that altitude, and I was just shy of being supersonic. You know, we were there to gather information that could get as fast as we could go. In order to get supersonic, I really would have to have gone quite a bit higher in altitude because of the decrease in density.
What technology existed in the late 50s that could be used for this research, and what did your team have to create?
Well, that's a good question. Actually, we used the partial pressure suit that was being used at that time by the U-2 pilots and by test pilots. We used that equipment that the air crews were using. We wanted to demonstrate that we were giving them very good equipment. So I used the exact equipment that U-2 pilots and high-flying pilots were using every day at these extreme high altitudes. I could have used a full pressure suit, which would have been a little bit better protection, but that wasn't what the air crews were using in those days. So we wanted to demonstrate that we were giving them very good equipment, to the point that I bet my life on the fact that it was reliable and dependable, and it turned out that it was.
What did you learn about high-altitude descents that still endures 50 years later?
The lasting legend is that the fact that the small stabilization parachute that we developed on this program is still being used today. Every Air Force in the world uses a small 5-foot diameter drogue chute to get the ejection seat down and the man down to a lower altitude before the main parachute deploys. And that's what we developed on our program 50 years ago, so it's still being used today. And, of course, the knowledge that we gained was used by NASA in the Mercury program.
Felix Baumgartner is going to attempt a similar set of jumps later this year to test the next generation of pressure suits. How are you involved in this project?
Oh, yes. I'm a consultant on the program. I'm an engineer on the program. I've been working with him for 2 years. I'm very much involved in the project. He is using the next generation full pressure suit, and he will be going out at about 122,000 feet, and he'll be using, the next generation full pressure suit. It's sponsored by Red Bull, and we'll be doing the jump this year in New Mexico. There'll be at least two jumps that he'll make in this series, with the highest being 120,000 feet or so. Even though there's been improvement in the pressure suit systems, the life support systems, communications, and cameras, and so forth, the peril, the dangers of the stratosphere are still just as hostile today as they were 50 years ago. So what Felix will be doing is a very risky experiment, scientific experiment that will extend the horizon, that will extend the altitude that we have shown that we can a man can escape from.
Joe, thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to express the happiness that we've got the 50th anniversary of our jump, and also to share the Red Bull Stratus program with you, because it's going to be an exciting venture.
Joe Kittinger would continue to participate in high-altitude balloon research into the early 1960s, before returning to fixed-wing flying. He served 3 combat tours in Vietnam, flying both the B-26 and the F-4 Phantom II, in which he was shot down during a mission in 1972. He would later spend 11 months in the North Vietnamese prison known as the Hanoi Hilton. Kittinger retired from the Air Force as a colonel and has continued his interest in gas ballooning, setting several distance records in the 1980s. You're listening to EAA Radio.